The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Thursday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Joe Sebilia, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
Everybody wants to know.
Good morning, everyone. This is Councilman Joe Borelli on the second day. I get to fill in for Joe Piscopo while he is off on his escapade in Italy. I think, as a matter of fact, he is heading down the coast today, heading towards Sorrento and the Amalfi area, and visiting Pompeii. If I recall, the last time we spoke, that was his plan. I am fully expecting him to check in with us this morning. But we have a very good show lined up for you today. As always, joining us in studio is Joe Sebilia, the producer, the man who gets things done, the man who books the guests, who writes the questions, who really, really, really has a talent and a creativity about this show that often goes unrecognized and unsaluted. So, Joe, the character of Joe Sebilia is great. For people that don't know you beyond the radio microphone, you are a sitcom character.
You're too kind.
You are a lovable sitcom character. You're like Potsy.
Potsy, wow.
Like, Potsy's probably a good example.
I'll take Potsy. Take Potsy. He was a pretty cool guy.
I mean, we've had Ralph Malph on the show before. But
yeah, that's right. That's right. And now Anson Williams has contributed greatly to society with his product Alert Drops,
right,
which will keep you awake if you're driving in the middle of the night.
Which is incredible because the first thing I said to you guys when I came here was I have not slept since
so
yesterday.
Alert Drops would be perfect for you. You spray it on your tongue. It gives you this acidic kick. And it would wake you up, and you would be able to...
So he basically made, essentially, cocaine or some sort of drug.
With the aid of Dr. Henry Heimlich.
You put this substance on your tum, and all of a sudden you get energized.
Exactly.
This sounds like a drug to me.
It gives you a spike, more or less. It's like five-hour energy, but in 5 seconds, and keeps you going.
And the yin to Joe's yang is also here. Al Gattulo,
yes.
You are the yin to Joe's yang.
Am I?
Right. You are.
Okay.
Opposites attract. That's why.
Opposites
attract. I'm married, though. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
it is great to see you guys.
And
for those of you who don't know, Al is wearing his Staten Island Stapleton's shirt,
mm-hmm.
which, as a historian for the history of Staten Island,
right.
I can tell you, I mean, how much I appreciate this shirt, the Staten Island Stapleton's. This is a team that used to play the New York Football Giants.
That's right.
I mean, this is a real team. And the players used to march from the ferry terminal, the away team,
mm-hmm.
And you were able to heckle the away team as they went to Thompson Stadium.
Right.
Which seems like these sort of things have gone by the wayside in professional athletics,
mm-hmm.
but the opportunity to...
Well, they haven't gone by the wayside. They've amped up to the point where fans think that they can... touch the player.
You go to MetLife Stadium, you go to Yankee Stadium, the players pull into the special parking
lot.
No.
Right. I'm talking about at the actual game itself, the heck.
I love soccer. I travel to Europe to watch soccer. That is still the last remnant of where you can get world-class players and you can tell them to go scratch right to their face and yell at them. As a matter of fact, I took my kids to an MLS game over at Red Bull Stadium. It was actually NYCFC playing at Red Bull Stadium.
Okay.
We had second row seats. It's such a great bargain. It was like $25 a seat because it wasn't a really home game for NYCFC. They were playing. There was a conflict in the schedule with the Yankees, et cetera, et cetera. We're watching the game, $25, second row. Now, Benteke, who's one of the best players, Belgian national player, one of the most famous players in the world, is like 3 feet in front of us. And in soccer, you can just harass these people. And it was great, and I'll have to say, the guy Benteke, it was great that he was taking the heckling and then willing to take pictures with the same people who heckled him.
Wow.
You know, it's good.
A baseball player or a football player would not do that to me.
Soccer players are very good. Very good. But I do love the Staten Island Stapleton shirts.
So for those that don't know, the Staten Island Stapletons played in the National Football League from 1920 to 1926 or 27 or whatever.
It's actually on your shirt. Yeah. Well, it's 1915 to 1935.
1935, sorry. I should have looked down, but I didn't. So what happened was, I think they played in various versions of the National Football League. People forget that in the early 1900s, the NFL was not a very popular league. College football was much prevalent in the New York City area. The football players were not full-time employees. They played, and they basically had day jobs. They had other jobs to do. They didn't practice the way they do now. So the Stapletons would play the Giants five times. They had a record of 2-2-1 against the Giants. And I think they played... I think 2 years in a row they played a Thanksgiving game, if I'm not mistaken. And you were right when they used to take the ferry. The Giants would come from the Bronx. They would take the ferry, and then they would walk up St. George to Thompson Stadium to go and play their games.
Get harassed,
get tomatoes thrown at them. People would throw food at them. I mean, it's just, you know.
These are relics of a bygone era that if we can usher back these traditions of heckling the opposing team.
Right.
Again, you do that in England. I've gone to West Ham games a number of times in East End of London. You get to heckle and harass and harangue the opponents and their supporters.
Right.
And there's so much pleasure you can get. I don't want to get into a fist fight or anything like that.
No, of course
not. But there is so much pleasure out of yelling at your opponents and their supporters on the sports pitch. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
But speaking about Staten Island history, listen to this fun fact. So on Tuesday, Princess Anne... of fame now. I mean, everyone knows who she is now after the Queen's funeral. This is the Queen's sister. So she's scheduled to come to Staten Island, and she's visiting the National Lighthouse Museum.
Oh.
Which is a nice museum. It's a museum focused on the history of lighthouses. The location is the former home of, I think it was called the U.S., Oceanographic Agency, which managed the lighthouses all across the Eastern Seaboard.
Got it.
So they're doing a reception for her there. And I got a letter because I responded that I'd be coming. I'm an Anglophile. I love the royal family.
Sure.
Any chance to meet the Princess Anne, I would take the opportunity. So I got a letter from Buckingham Palace, saying I've been approved to meet. So this is great, and that Princess Anne may ask you a question about your book, Revolutionary Staten Island, and the British occupation. Of Staten Island.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, this is pretty interesting. Yeah, so it's fun. Now, the problem is...
Now, the second edition of the book could have that quote from her.
You know, if we can get a quote from her on the record, we'll have to do a rewrite.
Right.
It could be, "Sorry, my ancestors were such trouble for you," or something. something like that would be really good.
Pretty awesome, though, that she may actually ask you a question.
It's going to be fun. So I don't know what the royal protocol is. My knowledge of royal protocols comes from Mr. Bean. I don't know if you've seen the episode where he meets the Queen. It's a very funny episode. That's my knowledge, and then bow, and then.
But can I ask you, where does your passion for the royal family come from? Because you're really, what do they call it? An Anglophile,
And a Francophile, I like the idea of historical, the idea of what inhabited this earth well before my time.
Yes. I know a little about that.
I find so when we were in Europe this summer, the family and I, we visited castles, we visited a whole bunch of sites. We visited this Roman site called Aptera, and it's on a mountainside in Crete, and it's a Roman settlement in Greece from about 2,000 years ago. And just to explain to my son and try to make him picture that this was once a vibrant, what now is a pile of rocks, was once a vibrant city. And to think about, and I love reading historical biographies that really make good use of primary source like diaries and things like that.
Yes.
Because you realized that people were as complicated and their lives as complex as people are today. like, I mean, and I think people forget that about history. You know, when you think about the life of George Washington, you know, it's easy to imagine he rode into battle. He floated on a cloud because you've seen that picture of him.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is not the reality.
Yeah.
In reality, this was a guy who was angry, who was mad at times, who fought with his subordinates, fought with his wife. You know, I mean, this is a person who had family issues. He had personal issues. He had frustrations. He had social issues where,
yeah,
you know, he wanted to get the best pew in Trinity Church and all these sort of things. We forget that these people in ancient history were human. And I think when you uncover some of their lives, especially in some of the Roman settlements, you know, there's some great documentaries on the Roman settlements of this area called Baia. It's near Pompeii.
Yeah.
And it's a Roman resort town, basically, and how wealthy Romans would build giant fish tanks.
Yeah.
And that was like the rave, like the rage. Like, there were fashionable things.
Certainly.
In these societies.
See, I wish we could go back to the days before photography, where everything is preserved exactly, or for the most part exactly, because, you know, there's distortion in pictures, as it was. I wish we could go back to the days of the painters who would paint portraits and scenes of these historic photos. Because if there's something you didn't like about yourself, all you would have to do is go up to the painter and say, hey, could you, you know, maybe shave 25 pounds off? Could you, you know, fix my tooth? Could
you
fix my hair if you had a bad hair
day? You
have
to go to Jan van Eyck and say, when you paint my portrait, like, please make me a little skinnier.
Exactly.
Make my mustache a little pointier.
Exactly.
You know, make my black hat a little tilted to the left. Give me a little style. So that's why, Joe, it's funny you say that. One of the other things, historically speaking, that I really enjoy are portraits. And now people, my wife will make fun of me and she'll laugh at me, but I will go to the Met or another museum.
Yeah.
Or if I'm traveling somewhere, sometimes I travel for work and I have some downtime. Like if I'm in Washington, I'll go to the National Portrait Gallery, I'll go to the Smithsonian. I love seeing portraits of people.
Certainly.
And a great example of that is Governor David Patterson.
Right? Oh.
Governor David Patterson. A friend of this network, someone who's been on this network quite a bit, you know, wonderful guy, you know, despite the political differences, a genuinely nice person. When he got his painting of his governor's painting for the Hall of Governors in the Capitol, he asked to be painted with his stick that he uses for his vision impairment.
Yeah.
And he wanted people to know that him, as a human with physical disabilities, he was blind, still managed to be the governor of the state of New York. Now, he was the first black governor. Obviously, you could see that in a portrait of him. And that would be enough to really earn you a prestigious place in New York State. And yet he chose to be painted with this stick to identify himself as a disabled person. Now, he's someone who got his picture taken thousands upon thousands of times.
Yeah.
So having one portrait is not something. But if you go back 200 years, 300 years, 400 years, people were painted once in their life.
Yeah.
So what they chose to be painted with, wearing what, in front of what, and how they styled themselves was such a deliberate decision. And to see people with dogs, to see people who were, you know, if you were an explorer, maybe you'd have a globe. If you were a judge, maybe you'd have the scale of justice, or you'd paint the background of your property. So there's a painting in City Hall, the Marquis de Lafayette. He's painted himself at Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
Because he loved George Washington so much that he asked for his portrait to be painted in the backdrop of Mount Vernon.
But not only were people maybe painted once in their life, think about the early days of photography where it wasn't commonplace, it wasn't cheap. And maybe they were photographed once in their life. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple photographs of Abraham Lincoln out there, but there's only one that I can think of that I think most people think of when they think of Abraham Lincoln. It's the portrait.
I imagine that there's quite a bit of portraits of Abraham, this pictures of Abraham Lincoln. I imagine there's only four or five actual portraits.
Yes.
Of him. And yeah, the one that everyone knows is certainly the most famous. You know, there's a photo of Lincoln's body in front of my office at City Hall, where he lied in state after his death.
Oh, that's interesting.
Really interesting stuff. So, look, we've talked enough about history. We have a full lineup today. We'll get into who's coming on the show next break. Action-packed. We don't want you to leave. I hope I didn't bore you with the history talk. I promise you we'll have some more fun. But right now, let's get the traffic with Susie Cerrone.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. clear skies, and we're down to 55 now in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic, a crash on the BQE northbound at Flushing Avenue. That has one lane out. A stalled truck on the ramp from the LIE westbound to the northbound BQE. The right lane is blocked on the ramp. Alternate side in effect. Not too bad at the Hudson River crossings. 5 to 10 minutes apiece heading into the city. No issues on the Garden State Parkway. And overnight road work gone. You're good to go on the thruway southbound from Rockland County across the Tappan Zee Bridge into Westchester. Already a little busy in Connecticut. 95 northbound from 27 down through exit 25. Checking your forecast today, a sun-cloud mix, breezy with a high of 66. Tonight, cloudy and breezy down to 53 in the city. Friday, cloudy with a high of 64. And for Saturday, rain Saturday with a high of 57. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
International travel is open again. So now is the perfect time for that trip to Israel, the trip of a lifetime. A trip to the Holy Land will bring you face-to-face with one of the most fascinating countries on earth. More than just a vacation, this meaningful trip is your opportunity to enjoy the freedom to travel again. Walking the ancient streets of Jerusalem where Jesus walked, sailing the Sea of Galilee, and floating in the mineral-rich Dead Sea with its healing and rejuvenating power. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza, along with our trusted travel partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours, personally invite you to experience Israel with them this November. To book your trip to Israel, log on to StandWithIsraelTour.com. That's StandWithIsraelTour.com. Then call 855-565-5519 to secure your spot. Call today, 855-565-5519.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with a friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Orange have popped into the national rankings and are heavily favored to get to 5-0 as Wagner visits Saturday. Join us for Orange pregame at 4, kickoff at 5 on AM 970, The Answer. New York's home for Syracuse University football.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Joe on the radio, and I want to tell you about Relief Factor. And I tell you the stories on the air, and you're going to see the commercials like I tell you on the radio. They took a lot of what I do on the radio, and they put it onto the TV that you will see in the weeks to come, because it's true. When I need the knee pain that I had, the shoulder pain that I had, you know, it got me out of pain in 5 days. 5 days out of pain. And I could do the things around the house, bending down and picking up one of my kids or something, for crying out loud. Even as they get older, you like to like hold them, you know, and or again, something simple as taking out the garbage or going up and down the stairs. And I credit Relief Factor, again, by the grace of God, be able to get out of pain like I got out of pain. And I did it in 5 days. Give yourself 3 weeks. That's all we ask. With that quick start for $19.95, go to relieffactor.com, please, or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. To hear more about this particular offer, feel the difference, go to relieffactor.com.
Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com.
I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Good morning and welcome back. This is Councilman Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo, who is off on his Italian adventure. And yes, here at the AM 970 family, we are mourning the death of Coolio. Coolio, who had, someone who was born in 1982. I mean, right. Coolio was certainly a musician that affected my, you know, upbringing. Although right. I probably couldn't name one song right now other than Gangster's Paradise.
I think he had one other big hit. This was a big hit for a couple of weeks when I forget
that
the
movie
that
came out with
right.
Michelle Pfeiffer, and she was Dangerous Minds.
Right.
Dangerous Minds.
Mm. Correct.
Michelle Pfeiffer was quite the catch back in the day. Quite
yes.
the
looker.
Now, I can't say I'm particularly a Coolio fan or I listen to his music. But I am shocked to hear about his
59 is way
59
too young.
Way too young,
and died in the bathroom.
Died in the bathroom. You don't ever want to die in the bathroom.
Right. So and to be fair, I mean, for people who don't know, who are just waking up, apparently he was at a friend's house, went into the bathroom to use the facilities, and apparently cardiac arrest, suffered a heart attack, and passed. There was no foul play suspected, no drugs.
Yeah.
So if you are a Coolio fan and you're just waking up to this news, you know, we want to express our sympathies to you.
Not many Coolio fans.
Might be a shock to you if you're driving, you're in traffic, if you have to pull over. I understand.
Right. But still, 59, way too young.
Speaking of 1990s rappers, my good friend Dom, and I won't say his last name because then people would know where this person lives.
Sure.
But he just rented his. He had to take a job uptown in Manhattan, so he moved from Staten Island. To a beautiful apartment in Manhattan, and he rented his house to Ghostface Killah.
Really?
From the Wu-Tang Clan.
Wow.
So now
for
you
the
have
children.
Right. Now you have Ghostface in sort of my neighborhood.
Right.
And I was with a bunch of friends last night, and we're you know, a block or two away from where Dom's house is, and we were thinking, you know, Ghostface moved to the South Shore of Staten Island. Maybe he wanted to get away from people he didn't like. He probably wants new South Shore friends,
right.
And we were hoping that he would have come by. We tried to get him to come by. Dom didn't call him.
No good.
But, I mean, he seems like someone I'd like to hang out with.
Sure. Why not?
And then, God forbid, like we could hear something about him someday that he died in the bathroom, and we could say, you know what, we never reached out to Ghostface Killah. So.
What an unfortunate list to make, though. Like, because you know there's always that list of people, celebrities
who
died in the bathroom.
It's this thing, and Joe talks about it all the time, you know, when you go, you want to be remembered in a certain way, right? Like, Coolio is always going to be remembered as the guy who died in his friend's bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, he had a big number one hit, and, you know, successful musician, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But there's always going to be this.
That's what you always hear about Elvis Presley. He died
right,
in the bathroom.
Right. So,
and this is, you know, the king of cool. I mean, he's the, you know, the, right. one of the maybe the biggest musical talent in
well, for
you
those
know, the
that
last
believe that
years.
Elvis is dead.
Though I you know, well,
there's
this
some
is
that
Joe.
Don't.
He know. May be working at Joe's house right now, for all
right,
I know.
Right. That's the story that Joe tells. Apparently, a painter that Joe has had at his house was actually an Elvis impersonator.
But an Elvis endorsed Elvis impersonator.
Right, an Elvis endorsed Elvis impersonator and apparently claims that he warmed up for Elvis at his sound check at Madison Square Garden
in
the 70s.
Now, I'm not old enough for this, but there were Elvis impersonators alive while Elvis was alive.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This to
which
me
is
makes,
insane
yeah,
to
this,
me,
this
too.
To me makes absolutely no sense. I mean, my brother-in-law, Tom Kowalski, mm-hmm. Kowalski Allstate, get your insurance from him, by the way. He is the biggest Elvis fanatic and has all his things. Probably has more than one Elvis impersonator in his Rolodex on his phone. And this is the first I'm hearing that there were actually contemporary impersonators.
Yeah,
just
but
traveling
that
the country.
Does actually make sense, Dave. Because think about it. I'm sure there are a lot of people who maybe couldn't afford to fly out to Las Vegas, couldn't afford to buy tickets to go see the actual Elvis Presley perform. So the next best thing would be to go see a high quality
right,
impersonator
but, okay,
or a doppelganger.
Okay. So who's the most? You know, who could sell out the biggest arena right now? I mean, who's Justin Bieber? I don't know. I don't know who the kids listen to.
Justin Bieber. I think Justin Bieber would be.
But
a
let's
good example
use Justin Bieber
Harry
as
Styles.
A good example.
Harry Styles.
Yeah, that's.
Are,
good.
Are there Harry Styles impersonators out there actually? Trying to
no,
but I don't think there's really impersonators anymore either, in that sense.
But
like,
Elvis,
like there is
but
Elvis.
It, well, hold on a second though. There's a difference. Harry Styles, pardon the pun, doesn't have a style,
yeah.
right?
Elvis is so unique.
Elvis
had
is a persona.
Style.
Okay,
right. There's a difference. Here.
I bet you there's Elton John impersonators.
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely.
I bet you there's Elton John.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
look at the Doors, the Soft Parade band that's been playing on Staten Island
well, he's dead.
Forever.
I mean, Jim
well,
Morrison's
I understand.
Dead.
I understand
now you
dead.
Need an impersonator.
No,
right?
No,
now
right.
Someone dies, now you need the
impersonator.
Like,
but
the
keep,
impersonator
in mind,
industry,
keep in mind that they're not a cover band, like a straight-up impersonator.
Right, right.
The impersonator industry, in my view, should only really come about when someone has left this mortal coil. And now we have to relive their legacy. A Freddie Mercury impersonator, right?
Right?
That'd be great. That'd be a lot.
Yeah,
of fun.
That would make sense. It makes more sense.
Rami Malek
when you do
should,
it like that.
Rami Malek should give up the movie industry and just be a full time Freddie Mercury.
He was unbelievable.
He was really really fantastic. Yeah. But we got some unbelievable people coming on this show today. Ryan Trush. Wow.
Oh,
Joe,
that's, yeah.
This,
you did say
wow.
You did say you were going to have problems pronouncing
exactly.
Names.
No, but even if I did sleep last night, which I didn't, right. This is a difficult because now the question is the name Norwegian or is the name French?
Oh, right? See, now that I don't know. I will go with Truchelieu.
Right, Truchelieu would be the French pronunciation of this, but like Truchelieu?
I think it's Truchelieu. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Because we spoke on the phone yesterday, and he like so glazed over the pronunciation of his last name, and I emailed him. I said, could you please send me the phonetic spelling of your last name?
And has he done that?
To my knowledge, no, but his first email also went to my spam folder, which this company is infamous for, so...
Okay.
You never do know.
Well, nonetheless, we're going to hear from Dr. Ryan. Let's call it that. He's a meteorologist.
Exactly. That's a good way to go.
And Weather Tiger.
You can call him the Weather Tiger.
Obviously, a lot to speak about with him with respect to Hurricane Ian. So I was supposed to fly tomorrow to Florida.
And your flight got canceled, I assume?
Yeah, flight got canceled. Right. But now we booked through Expedia, but we did one of those deals where we booked one flight on JetBlue, which got canceled.
Right.
And my return flight is on United. So now United is not going to just give me a free refund.
Right.
So now
you got to go through the whole rigmarole.
You have to go through the whole thing. I spoke to the Expedia person this morning because I was up all night.
Hmm.
So I did the Expedia virtual chat. The person was helpful. They did my JetBlue refund, no problem. And I might have to just like find the next flight I have to go on from United and do a change to not pay a fee rather than get a credit and pay some fee to get the credit or to change the flight. So I have to go to Puerto Rico for a conference in November, so I'm hoping I could build that. But it's always so frustrating. And here
there's going to be electricity in Puerto Rico?
I hope so.
What happened in Puerto Rico due to this hurricane is just ridiculous. And the fact that their infrastructure, you know, years later after, you know, Sandy and this hurricane and that hurricane, and they don't have reliable power.
Yeah,
and
they privatized a decade ago, went to Luma, a private company who just has not, whether they didn't get investments from the federal government or not, there certainly is an issue with building out their infrastructure.
Right.
I believe it probably is difficult to just turn on a spigot and give electricity to an island that long had an electrical grid problem.
Right.
But this is something that's gone on long enough, and I'm one of those people who really believes, you know, people in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens, and this should be more of a priority, you know, for the federal government. This is something that should be a priority. We share a region, a federal region, with FEMA and the federal DOT and federal housing agencies with Puerto Rico. And I just never hear of our people doing much there for this purpose.
And the issues with the hurricane, you know, I mean, it's right now it's I think they said it was about 40 miles to the southeast of Orlando, moving very slowly, about 8 miles an hour. So this is a storm that's going to continue to impact the area for at least another day. They're telling people in certain areas on the west coast of Florida, don't even leave your homes.
Yeah.
Because there's so much storm surge and flooding, high tide.
The golf outing, I swear to you, they're telling me it's still happening tomorrow. So I am the NYPD 1013 Society Man of the Year this year in Collier County, Florida, a retiree club for police officers.
The golf
from New
course
York.
Has to be flooded.
But I am told that this part of Florida did not get hit. Now my friend Kevin and I spoke about this. You know, we're not going to show up to the airport, right, on Friday, even if the flight didn't get canceled. We weren't going to show up at the airport with our golf bags as people in, you know, battle dress uniform and canines are boarding the same plane.
Right.
Like, we're just not going to do that.
Right.
But still, I wish I could have went. It would have been a nice event. And certainly, you know, people have way bigger problems in Florida than not seeing my, you know, beautiful face and hearing the nice things I was going to say to the crowd.
Right.
But, you know, it's a shame.
So they're going to have your event without you that
well, it's not his event. He's just being honored.
I'm just the honoree. I'm the honoree, the keynote speaker.
But
you know,
for the day, it's, you know, more or less.
I shelled out money for the foursome. You know, I shelled out the money. So I had some golfers. We were going to be joined by John Bachman, an anchor from Newsmax, my friend Brian Leib, a Newsmax contributor, and my friend Kevin. But now there'll be no one. There'll be no one.
That's disappointing.
It is disappointing. I was disappointed. And now I have to figure out how to get this money back. So it's interesting. So this weekend...
Why don't you call Andrew Cuomo? Isn't he doing
a new
podcast?
We are going to talk about that. What I do have this weekend, though, is my Uncle Bill, my wife's uncle, but he's my uncle now, too. Uncle Bill's 90th birthday. Uncle Bill...
Oh, that's awesome.
Uncle Bill was a Navy frogman before the Navy SEALs in Korea. And he's got wonderful stories to tell.
Sure.
He's very funny, and he really is just a wonderful guy. And it's his birthday, 90. He only turned 90 once.
That's great.
So it's going to be excited. I actually was upset. Now, usually, if I go on a trip and it involves golf and warmer temperatures, my wife always says, oh, aren't you going to be upset you're missing Cousin Bob's party? And
right.
I'm never upset.
Right.
I was actually upset that I was going to miss Uncle Bill's birthday. So now, at least I get to be
nice
at Uncle Bill's birthday party.
So. Family's important, so.
But what is Cuomo doing? The man has
It's a creative side project.
But the man has, if you watch the video, and I watched it yesterday, the man has zero remorse of what he did. He's going to put on this podcast to pontificate about what? I have no idea. He's a clown.
He's going to pontificate about the truth, Al, and
as he sees it, not how it actually happened.
And the irony about advertising that you're going to tell the truth is that the assumption is that you haven't been doing that up to date.
Right. Right. Right.
You know, Al, you don't have to tell me you're going to tell me the truth. I just know you and accept
right.
that chances are, to the best of your knowledge, you're telling me accurate information.
Yes.
That's how I treat most people on this
right.
planet.
When Andrew Cuomo.
Not Andrew Cuomo.
No.
Not Andrew Cuomo, you know. And it's going to be interesting. I don't know where the market is. I think it's interesting that his medium to release this announcement came in a video to which, you know, no reporter could ask him any questions.
Mm.
No one could ask him about new pending civil lawsuits from these women. It's actually like he wants us to believe that I think it's up to nine women, you know, nine women who all sort of have the same figure and body type and look similar. They're mm-hmm. you know, all of these women had near identical experiences with this creep, and they're all hallucinating.
Right, right?
They're
every all one of them. They all saw it wrong.
I'm a firm believer of maybe someone, you know, makes a joke that crosses a line and maybe doesn't mean something once, maybe twice.
Right.
Eight or nine women who that we know of who have consistently said this guy was making advances, making passes at it. He's just such a creep. The guy he was hitting on women, you know, younger than his daughters.
Right.
And it's so absurd.
And the best part is when he tried to justify some of these things to say, I'm a hugger. This is what I do. No, you're the governor of the state of New York. You're not supposed to be hugging people the way you're hugging them. Not like Joe Biden when he's walking up behind people before he was president and sniffing their hair and saying that's not what you're supposed to do.
There's no excuse. And if you were the person who was out there denouncing sexual assaulters, you know, basically making the standard be,
right.
you know, just basically the standard is when someone else feels uncomfortable. That's essentially the standard that he wanted to implement. Then he goes and makes, at the very least, nine women sexually uncomfortable by
right.
his awkward advances because he's a creepy guy. He's a weird guy. He's got the droopy face, the drawly voice. It's just gross. It's gross. And then on top of that, the nursing home scandal. Governor Hochul mm-hmm. is still trying to prevent any investigation of this
it's ongoing.
Scandal.
It's ongoing.
She's not. They're not investigating. They're not looking at it. They're not doing anything.
Same thing in Jersey, Murphy. We have a comprehensive. It's a bunch of BS.
Such a shame. They know they made the wrong call, and that's really it. But we'll get back to Cuomo and a whole bunch more. Before we get there, we're going to speak to Ryan Trucialu, a PhD president and chief meteorologist at Weather Tiger. That's coming back after the break. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo, along with Joe Sibilia and Al Gattulo. We'll be right back after Al gives us some news.
New opinion. Passion. This is AM 970. The answer.
56 degrees at 6:38. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. Shootings across New York State are down 10% from a year ago. Officials say the stats are even better in New York City, with shootings down by 13%. Yonkers have seen the greatest improvement. Shootings have dropped by 27% there. They've decreased by 21% on Long Island and 11% in Mount Vernon. Meantime, over 7,000 guns have been taken off the street year to date. The governor called that a start. The U.S. Attorney's Office is announcing a major case of lending discrimination against Lakeland Bank branches in Newark. U.S. Attorney Philip Selling is accusing the bank of discriminatory mortgage lending practices that target people of color in union Essex, and Somerset counties. The complaint said the practices happened between 2015 and 2021. Officials say not only did this fail to create homeownership opportunities, but there weren't even branches in those minority neighborhoods. In sports, Aaron Judge officially in the record books. The Yankee outfielder has tied Roger Maris's American League home run record with his 61st long ball of the season. Judge went deep off of Blue Jays reliever Tim Maeza to give the Bronx Bombers the lead and eventually go on to win 8-3. Eduardo Escobar, the hero of the night, as the Mets topped the Marlins 5-4 in 10 innings. Escobar drove in all five of the Mets' runs after going 3-for-5, a two-run homer and a single to lead the Amazons to victory. They now lead the National League East by one game over the Atlanta Braves because the Braves lost last night to the Nationals. Stuck in traffic, Susie Cerrone's got the answer.
Clear skies and it's 55 degrees in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic, a crash in Brooklyn on the northbound BQE at Flushing Avenue that has one lane out. A stalled truck in Queens, it's partially blocking the ramp from the LIE westbound to the northbound BQE. It's on the right lane of the exit ramp. Alternate side in effect, inbound George 20 for the upper, 10 at the lower. The inbound Lincoln is 10, Holland 15 minutes from either approach. And a crash in Teaneck, that's Route 4 eastbound by Decatur Avenue that has one lane out. Throughway good to go north and southbound between Westchester and Rockland. Checking your forecast for today, a sun cloud mix and breezy with the high of 66. Won't feel like 66 though. Tonight, cloudy, remaining breezy down to 53 in the city. Friday, cloudy and 64. A rainy Saturday with a high of 57. Sunday, cloudy and 61. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Dell Technologies provides growing businesses with the tools to do incredible things because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
The 1619 Project was created by the New York Times with the purpose of canceling our nation's founding in 1776 and replacing it with a claim that America was actually a slaveocracy founded in 1619. This false fictional history of America is now being taught in a public school classroom near you. That's why you need to read Mary Graybar's book, Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America, now in paperback. The 1619 Project has become part of the curriculum for 75% of America's students as early as second grade. When you read Debunking the 1619 Project, you'll get an in-depth look at the false and divisive tactics being used to characterize America as a nation of oppression. Dennis Prager calls Debunking the 1619 Project the unvarnished truth about a fundamentally decent country, the United States of America. The 1619 Project is a dangerous collection of race-based obsessions that makes Mary Graybar's book, Debunking the 1619 Project, an essential read for concerned parents and educators. Get your copy of Debunking the 1619 Project by Mary Graybar, now in paperback wherever books are sold.
AM 970 The Answer just had their annual client cruise, and from my personal experience over the years, it's an amazing time. They always charter the Atlantis yacht with Captain Fred at New York Cruises. Captain Fred and the New York Cruises staff always go above and beyond with every detail. If you're looking to wow your corporate guests, clients, or employees, there's no other way to go than with New York Cruises for an unforgettable event aboard the Atlantis. Picturesque New York City skyline views, a gourmet food and bar menu. What's not to love? Whether you're planning a corporate event, wedding, engagement party, bar mitzvah, birthday, retirement party, or anniversary celebration, impress your guests with a first-class experience aboard the Atlantis. Call 212-633-1231. Call 212-633-1231. See how Captain Fred and his first-class yacht crew will make your special occasion an unforgettable day. Call 212-633-1231 or visit NewYorkCruises.com. That's NewYorkCruises.com.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You know I love performing at the Saccone Theater at Bergen Community College in Paramus, so I'm bringing my band and heading back there on Friday, October 21st, for an unbelievable show. A lot of comedy, some stories, a great tribute to Mr. Sinatra. This is a night you can't miss. It begins at 6 p.m. in a luxury tent right in front of the theater with a full dinner complete with signature dishes from Frank Sinatra's favorite restaurant, Patsy's, and owner and chef Sal Scagnamillo. You know what's really great?
great. We'll be raising money for scholarships at Bergen Community College, a great school. You get valet parking, dinner, wine, the show, everything for one unbelievable price, $125. The Saccon Theater's an intimate venue that will sell out fast, so get your tickets now at tickets.bergen.edu. That's tickets.bergen.edu. Tickets.bergen.edu or call 201-447-7428. I'll see you there.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
Did you listen to our podcasts? Hear them now on our website at am970theanswer.com.
Welcome back. This is Councilman Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo, who just told us, he just informed us here in the AM 970 studio that he will be calling in at the top of the hour, giving us the update, giving us the latest from his trip to Italy with Perillo Tours, with a great bunch of friends and family. And I know I speak for so many listeners out there who are just jealous. I was in Europe this summer with my family, and I'm dying to go back, dying to take them to Italy. The land of our ancestors' naissance, and check it out and let the kids have that experience. But I was also supposed to be in Florida this weekend, and that's not happening. I mentioned that earlier. So let's get some update on the weather down there and what to expect as Hurricane Ian works its way up north. I'd like to welcome Dr. Ryan Truchelet, President and Chief Meteorologist at Weather Tiger. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Morning, Joe. I'm hanging in there. It's been a tough week for the state of Florida, but glad to say that Ian is finally on its way out the door this morning.
So tell us about how this storm is sort of de-escalating, and the category is now dropping. Does that really mean anything for the people in the path of the hurricane, or should we still expect them to have a tough time going up to Georgia and Carolina?
Right. So this morning, Ian has weakened to about a tropical storm, has sustained winds down to about 65 miles per hour. It's pulling off the Florida East Coast right around Cape Canaveral, angling north-northeast. It's going to actually get back over the Atlantic today and loop north and then northwest up towards the Carolinas. Probably make a second landfall sometime either late tomorrow or even early Saturday, up around Wilmington or Charleston, part of South Carolina, and bring some heavy rain up to the Carolinas and to Southern Virginia, too, into the weekend. So Ian's not done. It's still a rainmaking threat, still going to bring some surge and some wind to the southeast coast, but it won't be anything like its intensity at its first landfall in the Fort Myers area yesterday when it does that.
Now, do hurricanes have the ability to pick up intensity in this part of the coast, meaning, you know, is the water warm enough off the coast of Georgia for it to slightly get a bit worse again?
Yes, the waters are plenty warm. What's not super favorable for reintensification is the upper-level winds, the kind of environment that tropical storms need to develop. The upper-level winds are pretty strong. Wind shear is about 30 knots, which is not very favorable for reintensifying. So, you know, Ian will probably hold its own from here. Might strengthen up just a little bit on approach to the coast, but it's certainly not going to become a major hurricane again.
And how long do you think before the waters start to recede in some of these areas in Florida? You know, obviously it's a state that gets rained on routinely, not at this levels. Should people expect to see the floods and the ponding near their home much longer, or will it all go out with the tide?
Well, there's two types of flooding at play right now. There's the storm surge flooding that was driven by the wind pushing a wall of water from the Gulf of Mexico ashore in southwest Florida. And that primarily happened south and east of where the eye came ashore. I hit Charlotte Harbor, which is just northwest of Fort Myers. So Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Naples region, they were hard hit by the storm surge flooding. Now that is going to go back out once the winds die down. So most of the surge flooding is over and has receded. There's also been extremely heavy rainfall across basically the I-4 corridor between Tampa and Daytona Beach. There's been rain totals so far of 10, even locally up to 15 inches in that area. And that's going to be causing flash flooding, freshwater flooding, of low-lying areas, river flooding, and that will take a lot longer to go down. I mean, that's something that'll recede over the next few days once the rain pulls out. It is still raining across East Central Florida and kind of Jacksonville region of Northeast Florida, so still got some time to go with that flash flooding threat.
But since Floridians are now sort of through the worst of it, and it's bearing down on the Carolinas, bearing down on Georgia, is there anything in store for New York? When should we expect to get some of the remnants, and is it going to cause any problem here, or will it be done?
Actually, what's going to happen is once Ian moves into the Carolinas Friday and Saturday, some of the rainfall will probably make it as far north as, say, Baltimore, maybe even South Jersey. Might get a little bit of kind of residual shower activity, call it late Saturday, early Sunday. Nothing heavy, nothing prolonged, and then it's all going to be out to sea by probably Sunday, Monday. So no major effects on the New York metro area.
Well, we got to cut it there, but thank you for giving us somewhat of an optimistic outlook. Hopefully the people in Florida, the folks down there, are able to get their lives back in order, get their homes up and running, get their basements mucked out, all that fun stuff that we went through here in Hurricane Sandy, and certainly got the benefit of charity and camaraderie from people all over the country. So it's great we can wish that back to them, and hopefully they don't need it, or they don't need it as much as we did. So now let's just get the traffic with Susie Cerrone.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
We have clear skies and it's 55 in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic. An accident in Queens, Justin, on the Cross Island North, but at Hempstead Turnpike. It turns out it's a stalled dump truck, partially blocking the ramp from the northbound BQE to the LIE eastbound. The ramp is partially open. Watch out for delays at the inbound George, about 20 minutes for the upper, 10 at the lower. The inbound Lincoln is 10. The Holland is 10 from the turnpike, but it's 20 minutes from 1 and 9. Crash in Teaneck, Route 4 eastbound at Decatur Avenue. So far, so good this morning along the Garden State Parkway. And delays on the thruway south, and it's really slow going now from just about 14A to exit 10. The Tappan Zee is clear in both directions. Heavy delays in Connecticut. 95 northbound is sluggish from Bridgeport right down to exit 17 in Westport. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Aw, honey, I can't believe you gave me toe fungus.
Oh, I was so embarrassed. I gave my wife toe fungus for the third time. Even after all the treatments I tried, all the money I spent, now my family was also dealing with this nasty problem. My doctor then told me that toe fungus is not just a cosmetic problem and that it can spread and get worse. He introduced me to a new and different routine that flushes out even the most difficult cases of fungus. It's called Crystal Flush. After just 3 minutes each day, my toes were looking better and better until the fungus was completely gone. Just imagine finally winning the battle against yellow, crumbly toes and being able to go to the pool or beach in total confidence. Call now, and for a limited time, you can try Crystal Flush risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-354-1862. That's 800-354-1862. Try it now risk-free. Call now, 800-354-1862. Or visit crystalflush.com.
Employee onboarding?
Automated.
Customer support?
Automated.
What if you could automate all your company's routine operation tasks and do it easily?
Lead management?
Automated.
With Zapier, you can. Zapier is the leader in no-code automation. Connect over 5,000 apps, automate almost any workflow, and streamline your team's performance without hiring a developer and with no coding required. That's right. Zapier's templates make it simple for you to automate anything in minutes, no matter your level of expertise. Zapier eliminates routine tasks and frees your employees to focus on the bigger picture. And with Zapier's advanced security features and annual SOC 2 audits, your data is safe and secure. See why thousands of companies, including Slack, Salesforce, and HubSpot, trust Zapier to automate their businesses.
Even complex tasks?
Automated with Zapier.
Try Zapier for free today at zapier.com/radio. That's ZAPIER.com/radio. Zapier.com/radio.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation delivers on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes have made for us. Heroes like Mario Nelson. After 9/11, Mario helped with the recovery efforts at Ground Zero. That experience motivated him to enlist in the U.S. Army. He deployed to Iraq and was 2 months from coming home when he was killed in action at the age of 26. He left behind a wife and a young daughter. Thanks to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, his wife and daughter received a mortgage-free home. Your kindness, your generosity brought them financial stability and peace of mind when they needed it most. For some families, the foundation brings that comfort of knowing they can stay in the home where they made memories with their loved ones. For other families, the foundation enables new memories to be cherished forever. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
Sunny skies at first, becoming partly cloudy in the afternoon as highs reach up to 67 degrees, and then we'll see a clear night tonight with a low of 52. As we go into tomorrow, we're looking for cloudy skies, a high of 65, and then the weekend gets a little bit wet with some rain showers from Tropical Rainstorm Ian. High temperature will be 62 on Saturday, 65 on Sunday, and then on Monday, still looking at a shower or two, high temperature 63. I'm meteorologist Jeff Nordine on AM 970, The Answer.
The Eric Metaxas Show, tonight at 11 on AM 970, The Answer.
Welcome back as we round out the 6 a.m. hour here at AM 970. We're taking your calls, 877-970-2999. Give us a call and shout us out, guys. This is Councilman Borelli, by the way, filling in for Joe Piscopo. And we are going to hear from Joe Piscopo in just a few short minutes, all the way on direct from Italy. Now, guys, I was telling you guys when I walked in how tired I was.
Yes.
I could not sleep last night.
Right.
I took a melatonin at about 9 o'clock. I got home from a friend of mine's house at around 9 o'clock, took a melatonin. You know, I dozed off for about an hour, hour and a half, and then just could not in my life go back to sleep one bit. Now, this morning, I wake up. In today's New York Post, it says the American Academy of Sleep Medicine is urging parents to not give your kids melatonin. Somehow it's not good for a healthy sleep.
But why would you give your kid melatonin?
We give our kids melatonin.
Really?
So we were under the impression that melatonin was this natural remedy. You don't want to give your child some sleep medicine. But I guess when you think about it, I mean, shame on us. I mean, it's a hormone produced by the body.
That allows you to sleep.
Right. And we were giving the kids this supplement fairly regularly when they had a school night and things like that. I mean, I take it. It knocks me out. It really does. It really knocks me out, except for last night. Mm. But this Post article is actually making me a little bit concerned. They're pretty strong against melatonin. So if you have any melatonin experience.
But they're saying it's harmful. Why? It's not that it's habit-forming, that there's something in the melatonin itself that it decreases their ability to make melatonin?
That over-the-counter melatonin is not regulated, so you really never know what you're getting.
Gotcha.
And the studies have shown that it's not that effective on establishing a regular sleep pattern. They say, you know, if your kid has jet lag or something like that, you can give the kid melatonin, children's a dose of melatonin. But I guess the way we were using it, where occasionally, like just to get the kids back on their schedule on a Monday night or something like that, we would give, the melatonin Monday, Tuesday maybe. I guess we're bad parents.
No, you're not bad.
I mean, we're not bad. I mean,
Uninformed in the
this is a relatively new study. I've never I don't need to take any sleep aids to go to sleep. I can fall asleep fairly quickly. I've sort of developed that over 30 years of working on very early morning shows.
That's your superpower.
Yeah, it is. But I'm also able to wake up most of the time without an alarm either. I mean, I wake up.
I do that. If I know I have to be up for something important, even if it's early, my body will not let me sleep past it. So it's good. Yeah. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. When we come back, you will hear from the man himself. Stay tuned.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn.
deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.